So I know last week we talked about July 4th. And
yeah, we're not over it.
We're not. Because we are still in July. But I got to tell you, I know you were away for July 4th, mm-hmm. but on July 4th, July 3rd, whatever, there was a lot of bad weather coming through Connecticut.
Oh my God, randomly.
Randomly through Connecticut.
Yeah.
But at one point, my phone went off. Mm-hmm. You know, I have an iPhone, you know, that works like other phones do. And it, you know, those, have you ever been somewhere where that alert goes off?
Yes.
That's bad weather?
Yeah, the emergency alert system or whatever.
Yeah.
But it's from your emergency management or whatever in your town or city, and you could sign up for it. Or I think the state
it might have been state or the weather service or whatever, but it wasn't.
Oh, no, National Weather Service, because they'll like take over your TVs.
Yes, yes.
And all kinds
That's
of
what
stuff,
happened.
Right?
It took
it?
Over everything.
Yeah.
And it's not like a subtle little. Like,
no,
it's not a vibrate.
Scary.
Like, you're not going to put it on vibrate.
Right.
It, like, it's loud, and it's on the TV, and it's on my phone.
Right.
And it was an alert that basically said that, you know, it was almost like I had to go down, run into my basement. It was such a bad alert, because it was like, oh my gosh, quick, 80-mile-an-hour winds, seek shelter instantly. And it reminded me of just how far we've come with these type of alerts. Like, when these didn't exist, it was check the weather at 6 o'clock or whatever, or even before that. I don't know how people managed
the
seeking
radio.
Shelter.
That's what they did.
Yeah, the radio.
It's the
you're
radio.
Right. Yeah.
It's us radio.
Yeah, we're getting
people.
A report. We're getting a report
right?
that there might be 80
it's
mile
true.
An hour winds,
yeah.
whether you had a radio on or not. But it is amazing how technology has allowed you to instantly send out an alert that everybody, I am sure everybody in my neighborhood got it. I didn't look out the window to see if all my neighbors from their pool were running for shelter.
Because you had to go make sure the animals were
okay. Yeah, that's right. Yes, exactly.
Gary has a farm, by
the way.
Take care. I swear to God, every time people get to know you more, they realize how cool you are. Like, by the way, Gary has a farm.
Yes, well,
it's just such a
I don't know whether that's cool or not. But
I think it's so cool.
But yes,
Chief Farmer.
And
my best friend.
Yes,
the
exactly.
End.
The end. That's like
it.
A little book.
I think we're done.
That's
right.
A little book.
Adios.
Thanks for listening today. And that's the latest segment of Beating the Badge. But it is amazing how technology has really changed for the better, because it's helped us. You know, there's some things technology hurts us with, I believe, but some things really make us safer. And this was an example of it.
Do you know, though, why they started the... is it just because technology allowed it? And the reason I'm asking that, it's always loaded. There's always a reason I'm asking these questions. But I was thinking about how, you know, for example, you go through an airport now.
Mm-hmm.
I think the thing that fascinates my 7-year-old more than anything, because we travel a lot, is that there's TSA. And I tell him all the time, up until... He doesn't know what 9/11 is completely, but I said up until the early 2000s, we didn't have TSA. And it blows his mind, the idea that we just kind of walked on planes. Like, that is what it was. I was growing up in the early, I mean, I was born in 1990. We've always traveled. So whenever we got on a plane to Disney World, we just kind of got on the plane. And so the idea of, you know, having all the metal detectors, taking the shoes off, all of that, that is the only world Chase has known. And whenever we go to airports, he thinks, I can't believe, Mom, there was
a time where
this existed. You're ancient. And it's great. But was there something that triggered that? Because half the time we have these things, that's just what we know.
Right.
You know what I mean? We just know that. But it usually starts from, like, TSA started because of 9/11. Was there something that started the emergency alert system?
I don't know. I don't know whether just technology has gotten better, and because we have FEMA, you know, the Federal Emergency Management Agency.
Right, that's true.
That has tried to adapt technology,
yeah.
you know, for hurricanes or tornadoes. I mean, I think it's such a great thing that tornadoes.
This is 2 weeks in a row. I'm going to look stuff up. What started the emergency alert system?
And I don't know how people managed tornadoes before they had such a system. Because those alerts, you know, like, look, this was a weather alert for us here in Connecticut. And yes, we've had tornadoes. I experienced a tornado several years ago. It was a minor one, but I don't know how people do it.
Okay, wait a minute, sir.
Yes.
According to AI, very quickly, the modern emergency alert system became operational in January of 1997. So that too feels like that's not that
But it doesn't
old.
Say why, though.
It was created to modernize the nation's public warning capabilities and expand emergency transmissions beyond basic tone alerts. It was built upon older national warning systems designated to
Got
protect
it.
The U.S. during the Cold War.
Got it.
Okay,
yes.
So that was the original,
yes.
But then we got what we have today
right.
only in 97, though.
So, but if you trace
that's
it back,
it,
if you trace it back, it, you know, World War II triggered an emergency alert system. And
Which
so,
is totally fair.
But we've seen that, you know, 9/11 triggers TSA. we've seen that like cases can really change stuff for the better.
Yeah, totally.
And, you know, I look at the, you know, maybe an example from law enforcement would be the Amber Alert. And that's really what I thought of when that went in.
Is yeah, it, where did Amber Alert come from? Like, is there an Amber? This is going to sound so ridiculous. I'm sorry. I just realized as I said that out loud. You know how you wanted to edit out last week? I want to edit out because that should have been something I asked before this
episode. It's important. No,
but
is
there an Amber? There is that Amber. Where Amber Alert came from?
It is from 1996. An Amber Hagerman, maybe she was a 9-year-old was riding her bicycle in Arlington, Texas.
Of course you'd know this story.
Well,
this is why I should have asked you beforehand.
I know, right?
No, I'm serious.
There was an Amber.
Of course you'd know.
And a witness saw a man force her into a pickup truck and they drove away. And they tragically, after they searched, they found her, you know, her body 4 days later.
That's awful.
But out of that, people started saying, you know, cause she's, you know, 9 years old. People in the neighborhood started saying, we didn't even know she was missing.
That's crazy.
How come we can't get information? How are we supposed to help if I don't even know, you know, what happened?
That she was even missing.
So I can't help.
And that's people who are close to them.
That's
like you're saying neighbors.
Yes, yeah.
What about the that blows my mind, Gary, the idea that we've only had the Amber Alert system since the mid-90s. Because to me, it's like I can't even imagine, you know, half the time that they find somebody who's connected to a case is through an Amber Alert and it's somebody who's at like a rest stop, you know, towns or even states away.
Right.
I mean, the Amber Alert, literally, it's just that's wild to me. That's crazy.
And so it started in Dallas, Texas, as a result. And it started with local media. You know, I don't know how many cases occurred in Dallas after Amber's tragedy. But they really signed it up and said, hey, we can now notify the radio and we can notify television and local media to try to get the word out. Maybe neighbors spread it around. But that system has now evolved into a nationwide Amber Alert. You know, it started with radio and TV that we would get the message out. And now nationwide, similar to the weather alert that takes over your phone, an Amber Alert will take over your phone now, too.
How does that response, though, work? You know, so if you're just tuning in, we're talking about where Amber Alert came from, which is crazy to think that it's only been around. You said that case happened in 96?
96, yeah.
That's
crazy. In Texas, yes.
Wow. Wait, so I'm horrible at math. Does that make the Amber Alert, is that 30 this year? Did we even plan that? We didn't even plan that.
No, it's 30. It's the, well,
wow.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah,
well, that case was 96.
Right. And it was
so I'd imagine right after, the Amber Alert came out right after.
Right after that, yes.
Wow. 30 years of the Amber Alert. Who knew? Until right now. That's crazy.
Right.
But if you're tuning into this, the reason I think this is so fascinating is also just how the response is with Amber Alerts. So you've got a case, for example, like that one happened in Texas.
Yep.
But you'll see a multi-state effort. How does that even work? Say that person was tracked now in a different state or even about to get on a plane. Like, how is everybody on the same page? It seems like instantaneously.
Well, it evolved. So, you know, radio and television locally started to get it, and then they started to evolve it into transportation signs. Mm-hmm. You know, technology, like I said, evolves, and cell phones, we'll talk about that in a second, but cell phones have really transformed the way missing kids are looked at. But then, you know, several states began to sign up for this alert system so that they would put it on highway signs.
Yeah.
You know, that, you know, be on the lookout for this car, potential abduction. And then they ultimately brought it to the wireless cell phone alerts. But if you go back into the beginning of it, if you look at how these things are triggered, so law enforcement will get a response. You know, we'll call, my child's missing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, let's say that there's not a witness to it, like in Amber's case in 1996 in Arlington, Texas, there was a witness. So they had a lot of information. But, you know, a parent will call and say, my child's missing. And when was the last time you saw her or him? We respond. One of the first things we do, people might not realize it, is law enforcement officers will search the house.
Mm.
Something that, you know,
I didn't know
kids,
that. Why? Well, because they're not in the house.
Well, because sometimes kids like to hide. And so the idea behind it is if we don't even search the house first, you know, we could be running around.
Chicken with their head cut
off.
Well,
yeah, because think about it from the emotional perspective of a parent. A parent saying, I can't find my child. And where are they? You know, call 911 right away. You spend a little bit of time looking. And so law enforcement will respond, get that information, but they will do a search of the house to see whether or not a kid is maybe.
Or even like breadcrumbs. If they are not in the house, like could you find maybe if they left something behind or if they posted something or
yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, that's true. You know, when you said breadcrumbs, I'm like, no, it's good, but I didn't know what the
well, because honestly, if I'm the
was.
Parent who got, here's how I feel. If I called the cops and I said my kid's missing and you showed up to my house almost to be like, the way I'd look at it from a parent,
okay.
Now that I know you
no,
as a cop,
yep.
I would be like, what are you doing here? My yeah. kid's out there. So right. that's why I'm saying right. like, there's to me, there's a multi-prong okay. of, you know, maybe the kid is hiding. Let's just check. But mm-hmm. also, let me see if your child might have left any inkling of where they could have gone, who they went with, why they left.
Yeah, that's
I'm
fair.
I'm trying to help you out
no,
here.
Yeah, that's
fine. Because honestly,
yeah,
I'd be
know,
so mad.
Have lost.
If I called you... And you show up to my house, I'd be like, why are you here? It's the one yeah. place I
why
don't
Why are
you
looking
you?
Under my bed?
That's what I would say.
Yeah.
I'm just saying.
People
okay,
have lost
fine.
All confidence just... in me now because they think that that's what I would do.
No, it's
a process.
You know the protocol. Right.
Right. So, you know, like, well, we've seen cases where kids have been in the trunk of a car. You know,
oh,
tragically,
sure.
they
in the car, it's
and
true.
They and they get locked
it's true.
In the trunk.
Yes,
you know?
Oh, those are yeah, no joking.
So
that's brutal.
So
that's true.
We always want to go back and check the obvious areas where kids may be. Maybe they went and hid under the bed and fell asleep. You know, and mm-hmm. the mother's calling and they don't know. Whatever. But at the same time,
the car is a true one. I mean, we've mm-hmm. had cases like that
right.
in the garage. The kids are playing in the car, and it's a hot
yeah.
day, and you don't even know
yep.
it, and they're
and
in
they
the
get locked
oh
in
they
there.
Pass oh it's
sure.
horrible
right.
horrible
so
yeah that's
so that's so that's something so law enforcement responds. They are going to get all that information.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, they are going to go out and search to find out where they may be. And law enforcement will also go and check the house and check neighbors and check friends. But so the child's missing. We don't know where they are. An Amber Alert isn't triggered at that particular moment.
Right. But why?
Because Amber Alerts are really saved for specific incidents, and they're really serious incidents.
But you don't feel like time is getting away from you?
Well, that I'm not saying that they're not going to do, law enforcement isn't going to respond, and there's other ways in which law enforcement can send information out.
Yeah.
But an Amber Alert is for the most serious of the serious cases of abduction. Because,
but how do you know, like, so in that situation with Amber, mm-hmm. she was in a parking lot. How would
right.
you know they were abducted?
Well, you this was a witness. This a witness
oh,
said
a witness
that I just
saw
her.
Okay, I got it.
But law enforcement, in order to use the, and it's good to have the pushback because you might say, well, that's silly. But the problem is, for every time a kid is missing, not all of them are abducted. Maybe they just went and rode their bike and they're somewhere else. So if we're sending,
I could totally see like, you
so
know,
if we're sending
fire,
Amber
yeah,
Alerts
yeah, yeah.
out for every kid that
no,
might be missing.
No, it becomes boy cried wolf. I get that.
Exactly.
I get
so
that,
we gotta,
sure.
So there is actual criteria that the Amber Alert will use. I'm sorry, my talking about cell phones.
For anybody who's watching right now, this is my biggest pet peeve about my friendship with Gary, is he will just check his phone is connected to his watch.
Yes.
And we will be in the middle of a very important conversation.
Like we are now.
Who was calling you? Spam
I don't know,
call?
It was a spam call. Yes.
Okay. Well, so, spammer, please.
That's another
my
call.
Time.
That's right.
This is my
that's
time
another,
right now.
That's another.
This is our time,
thing.
Me
yes.
and the listener's time.
That's right.
Okay.
So let's go back to the, yes, let's go back to the Amber Alert.
Yes.
Now, in order to trigger an Amber Alert, which is a nationwide system, that means everybody's phone is overtaken like mine was on July 4th because we have changed so much. And so there's something law enforcement has to do before an Amber Alert can be issued. Mm-hmm. They have to reasonably believe that an abduction occurred.
But I want to understand, like, what would be reasonable? So I'm going to give you an example of something. This has never sat well with me, and I mm-hmm. hope to God everything is okay. A few years ago, I was in a parking lot. And as I'm getting into the car, my car, I hear screaming, like a little child screaming. I don't think I ever told you the story. And I go to look and there is an unmarked car, no license plates. I don't see anybody, but the car zooms off. And I call the local police. Here's the description of the car. I heard what sounded like a young voice screaming. Mm-hmm. And this is what I know. And they said, we will let you know if we need any more information. Never heard anything about it in the news. This is like the double hat I have because I'm also
like,
in the news. And I checked for weeks. It still haunts me to this day. I don't know what that was about. Now, I have a kid. He screams. It's the worst. And I'm like, please, bro, please don't have
yeah.
DCF call
yeah.
me, please.
And you probably drive away fast.
And
you're
I'm like, please,
I'm so
for the love of God, I'm so embarrassed. Right. So he could have very well been in that situation. But how do you deem that you have enough to prompt an Amber Alert or just go out and investigate without that?
Well, I mean, it's part of the investigation. And in that case, you know, they don't have a lot of information. So, you know, it has to be part of an investigation to do that. And they have to reasonably believe that that happened. The other criteria is the child has to be under 17.
Okay.
17 or younger. It's believed to be an imminent danger.
Okay, like where you know that if we don't respond right now, it's going to
be. Sure, like Amber was abducted. Or the child, we keep referring to this over the last couple of weeks, that incident where a delivery driver in a truck took a child.
Mm-hmm.
And they found it on the Ring camera and, you know, tragically that child was killed. But, you know, reasonably imminent danger. And then there's enough descriptive information.
Okay.
So in your case, there's not a lot of descriptive information.
Right. There's no license plate. There's no description of a person.
A voice screaming, no dark car.
Oh, it's a wild goose chase. I got that.
Not to say that you shouldn't call it in and you should be commended.
Oh, I'm always calling 911.
Commended for that.
Totally.
Those
observations. In fact, I think it was you who said our taxpayer dollars pay for those 911
calls. You are
calls.
Doing a lot of work. You're getting your money's worth.
just want to make sure I'm working with the police.
So there's enough information, and then the child has to be entered into the FBI National NCIC system.
Wow.
Those are a couple criteria. Now, you might not agree with it, which some of it you do, and some of it you might question, which is important.
You don't know. I'm just being a reporter.
But,
I'm just asking you questions.
But,
you don't know if I agree. Maybe I think that's perfect.
I don't. I'm making an assumption.
Yeah. Don't do that.
But I have a reasonable belief to believe that you might not necessarily agree with all
You're
of
like,
it.
You're like, we're friends and I know you.
So that's what happens. Now, in the state of Connecticut, the process is that just that.
Mm-hmm.
So local law enforcement responds. They get a report. They determine whether or not it meets the criteria for an Amber Alert. Now, remember, an Amber Alert takes over everything.
Everything, yeah.
And that's why it's so crucial that you have this criteria.
That's fair.
And then the request is managed by the State Police Message Center in the state of Connecticut. And then once it's approved, let's say everybody agrees, yes, it's entered into the system. The child's entered into the system nationally. And that's important as well. So the NCIC system is statewide, so law enforcement can access information for wanted people, stolen motor vehicles, missing people, but it's important that that information is entered into that. Once that is, then the button's hit.
Yeah, right.
And it goes everywhere. It takes over all cell phones, radio, television, highway signs, and then the National Center for Missing and Exploited Children also have distribution partners that take over that.
I realize that you were not the creator of the Amber Alert, but I am fascinated. So in Connecticut, there was a case, it has to be now almost 8 years ago, only because this little girl is the same age as Chase. I think they're 6 months difference. The little girl in Ansonia, who is still missing. We have no idea where she is. How long does an Amber Alert last? And like, if you don't find the kid, do they just stay on some kind? I've always been curious about that because I remember an Amber Alert going out when she was declared missing. That I remember like it was yesterday. Vanessa.
Right. Sure. No, I don't know. I think it stays out there. Now, it's not actively publicized.
Right.
But there is an Amber Alert website that you can go to. So the national, it's a national website that people, there's a national Amber Alert manager or coordinator that kind of manages the Amber Alert system. So I think it will always be out there. They'll certainly be out there in the NCIC system. So it doesn't ever go away. But whether or not it's an active Amber Alert, Amber Alerts are time sensitive, really, if you think about it. It's like this person is missing, this child's in danger, they're under 17, they're entered into the system,
I asked that question. So from a media standpoint, we get the alert.
Yeah, it was interesting to know about that from a media perspective. You're working and something happens.
Yeah, an alert comes through, breaking news, here's what we know. We give the information, but we do it consistently, I would say over a 12-hour period. So if you're in television, and I know this from working in television, you know, we keep the information up on the screen depending on when that dropped. If that dropped during the evening news, for example, the morning show is still going to run it unless they find the child. Same thing for us. So if something drops during my morning radio show, they're going to still run it in the afternoon show as well. Like that's going to still be in our newscast for a full 12-hour, I'd say, cycle or 8-hour cycle. So a full days. But like an Amber Alert, you know, taking over your phone and everything, that really only lasts, I would think, what? A couple minutes?
No, I would bet that it would be, you know, up.
Like, now, maybe the highway signs.
Yeah, the highway
are
signs.
Wild.
Well,
I don't know.
And the phone alert would just come over that probably that one time. And
right.
Say, call local police. And what you have a lot of people calling local police because what you end up having is a nationwide of detectives.
Right.
They're
right.
Like, I'm
right.
on the highway. I'm going to find them.
Right.
You forget the plate or you got to call back for it.
Right.
But a simple child missing is not going to trigger an Amber Alert.
Right.
Because you can't, you know, they didn't come home from school and my child's missing, which is fair. Call the police, but you can't kind of nationwide send it.
Right.
Runaways generally are not put in it. And that's why the threshold is high. Because if it's not high, your phone would be constantly going off.
Oh, totally.
And drivers would stop paying attention to it. Really,
well, and it sounds weird, but if you look at the list of what doesn't trigger an Amber Alert, we don't report on those.
Right.
So we don't, like, I mean, so I just can speak for myself and our news network. We don't report on those.
Yeah, exactly. Because
like we wouldn't report on a runaway. Right.
They're still tragic. They're still important to identify them, but you're right. It doesn't get that criteria.
No.
In Connecticut and maybe in other states, there is another level that Connecticut uses, and it's called a silver alert.
Yes, I've heard of that. What's the difference?
Well, the silver alert is just for missing children whose cases don't qualify for Amber Alert, or we use it a lot for adults who have competency issues or
that's
medical impairment.
That's when I usually
impairment.
See it. I don't even really see it for kids.
Right.
I usually see a silver alert for...
And
like,
that just...
Yeah.
The,
like if it's an Alzheimer's patient,
yes,
somebody,
right.
yes, that wandered, yes, yes, yes. I've seen
and,
that.
And it allows police to get the information out without using the highest level of emergency.
I think that makes sense. I don't
yeah,
know.
You have to be flexible enough. People oftentimes don't understand why, you know, and parents don't understand. My child's missing. They didn't come home from school. I need them.
Yeah.
Why are you not triggering an Amber Alert? It's
right.
important to understand why.
Well, and it's just crazy to even think, I don't know, it depends on, I guess, how your perspective is, but that Amber Alert is 30 now. But I can't even believe that there was a time where there was no Amber Alert. It's just interesting to think of that.
Yeah, and just like there was no TSA.
That's so true. Yeah. No, that literally blows Chase's mind every time.
Sometimes tragedies, out of tragedies, can come important change.